John chapter 14. The word that he gave, John 14, I kind of scribbled it, verse 8. So I'm going by my notes from this afternoon. And I had no, you know, I can sometimes recognize a particular verse, but I didn't know what that particular verse 8 was. And it's Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And then he pressed in, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing."
What verse are you at, Jim?
8 was the first one. 12 is the second one.
Okay.
"I tell you the truth." And then I put a circle around anyone who has faith in me. It's not in faith in ourselves. Sometimes we have a miracle that happens. Someone receives a victory, etc., etc. It's not because so-and-so prayed. It's because the Lord has released his ability, not only in and through us, but also the person believes that Jesus is able to do the job that he's been asked to do. It's not the person. I can anoint you with oil, and the Lord is the one that does the healing. It's not me. I'm not the one that, I just happen to be the middleman. And so when the Lord tells us to anoint with oil, which we did tonight, I think an awareness of that oil flowing through us, because if you look at that little chalice there, you can see it shining. And when I brought it, it was just as dead or dried up as that piece of wood on the bottom. There's no shine to the bottom one, is there?
Not yet.
None. But that doesn't mean that it's long enough. And you see, you and I are oil containers, correct? Okay. We have that bowl within us. Where is that bowl? It's our spirit man. All right? We've had this new oil. Now, if you can just picture Peter, who is recovering from his betrayal. Okay? Now, he is filled with oil. The fire comes and burns out the old blame game that he's been on for weeks, okay? And he becomes totally transparent. And then it goes even deeper. He starts to ooze out that oil. It's oozing through his pores where he's actually walking in his shadow. What happens when his shadow touches someone?
Healed.
Why?
Because the overflow from the spirit.
Amen. It's pouring out. Okay? Are you ready for that?
Amen.
It might get you thrown in jail. You see, a lot of people think that when the book of Acts took place, that it should have put the whole city of Jerusalem on the map. What did it do? What was the byproduct of Pentecost on Jerusalem?
Persecution.
3,000 were saved.
3,000 were saved, correct. That's the first comment that came out of his mouth. Okay. Next.
They became persecuted, so they were spread to the far regions.
The Pharisees were jealous.
Huh?
The Pharisees were jealous.
Oh, yes. They were now having hundreds and hundreds of more Jesuses. I mean, what do you do with all these Jesus freaks? You know? And in reality, you know, we have a concept that, you know, they all held things in common and so on and so forth. And they sold their property. Well, the reason they sold their property is because they knew that the whole city was going to go down in fire. And they had to get out of town. Okay? They were going to have to move. Because of persecution, hey, the fire was hot. They didn't get thrown in jail for nothing. Okay? So, we're asking for the Holy Ghost to come. But I can tell you this. There were times that the Holy Spirit has come in my life, and all it did is break hell loose.
Yep.
Okay? And I mean, it made it horrible. My life became a upside down situation. Do I want it to be different? No. I never said to the Lord, stop. What I did say is I need a lot more grace to make it through. Because it's painful. And many of you have been probably worse than me, but what we look at is the reality of the change that's taking place in our nation right now, and the anointing that he's given the United States, and the grace period that he's poured into us. I don't think it's a temporary thing. I think it's going to change the whole world. That's my prayer. That when this intense revival that is coming, and a renewal and a recreation of his creator individuals, where they are totally in harmony with each other, as they were in the book of Acts, the miracles and the signs and wonders are going to be so outstanding that it will bring persecution. But it will also bring about an entire generation of young people coming alive in Christ, able to connect without all the leftover garbage that they never dealt with. All right? And if you remember, Susan said one of the things that the Lord showed her is they've never dealt with the roots in the revivals of the past. You don't deal with the roots, what do you got? You got seedlings that come back to life.
Amen.
Amen? And what are we depending on? Verse 11. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me, faith in his ability. That's what he was pounding into me. When people believe for a miracle because, oh my God, can you believe it? I had that special lady Deborah anoint me with oil, and I am now totally, totally dedicated to Deborah because she's a saint. Well, she is a saint, but the attitude of the person is totally wrong. They don't recognize Jesus in Deborah. They have no clue about Jesus using Deborah. She's just a vessel. I'm just a vessel. What do? They worship the vessel. Okay? I mean, okay. 3 weeks ago, you're gonna get a little laugh out of this one. I got a real strong press to call Judy. By the way, I talked to her today, and she was really struggling. So keep her covered as you get led from the Lord. She said, I don't know how to tell you this, but she says, I know that I'm going to consider talking to a great manufacturer of the dolls. She says, you know, they have a Ken doll, they have a Barbie doll. And she says, I really am going to get a patent for a Kim doll. I said, what did you just say? Yaksha, if you had a Kim doll, you'd get every desire that you ever want. So she says, I could just cuddle up and dream. So I come home, I told that to Irene. She says, you tell her make do. maybe I don't get to see him enough. I'd have a doll to remember. So maybe we need a Jesus doll. Got it? Today, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. I'd like to change that word. I believe the corporate Son is also going to bring glory to the Father. And whatever we ask him in his name, he will do it. It's he that does it. And that's what the stress was on. Stress the reality that if you believe that I can do something, then it will be done for you. If you can't believe that I can't do it, then why do you bother praying? Your unbelief is like the dad that watches his son throwing himself in the garbage and in the water and tries to kill himself. And Jesus says, if you believe. And the father says very easily, help my unbelief. So he's knowing now that he even gets the help from the Lord. And he gets the grace from the Lord to believe that his son can be set free. But if you don't believe that Jesus can do it, you've just lost the whole war. I believe that when the apostles and the disciples came out of that upper room, they were so on fire for God. They were so full of oil that it was splattering everywhere in that city. I really believe that that's what was happening. The whole city was flipped over. And the temple, they were meeting in the temple. So think about what was happening in a section of that temple. The fire of God is in one corner and the Pharisees are on the other, jealous as all hell. Because hell was controlling them. Amen? So, you know, watch verse 10. Don't you believe? Stop it right there. Don't you believe? Why is he pressuring Philip? Philip is also in unbelief. Right? So the Lord is saying, don't you believe? In other words, Philip wants to see the Father. It's a good request. All right? But Jesus is looking at him. You've been with me for 3.5 years. Philip, wake up. You still didn't catch on. I hope that gives you courage to start believing what God can do and what Jesus can do. And what his spirit can do inside of you and me. That's my hope for this Pentecost. Yes?
It's interesting what you're saying. That's one of the other scriptures the Lord gave me this morning was in the book of Matthew 27, 28, and 29.
Yeah.
Jesus went on from there. Two blind men followed him, screaming loudly, have mercy and compassion on us, son of David. When he went into the house, the blind men came up to him, and this is what the Lord was pressing. And Jesus said to them, do you believe
that I
am able to do this?
Yeah.
They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, according to your faith. I'm bouncing through the amplified words.
Yeah.
It will be done to you. That was what he was showing me this morning. It was another scripture that I got. But the focus was,
do you believe?
I am able to do this. And I sat there and I went, okay, Lord, yes. But it's what I felt I needed was even a deeper revelation of Jesus himself.
Well, I'm looking at this as some of the experiences that I've had over the years have sometimes baffled me, okay? Because of the extent of the miracle. The lady from Canada, when we had that incredible meeting And the word of knowledge came out of my mouth that there was a cancerous tumor in her insides, and it was going to be found in the toilet the next morning. And it did. Well, what do you think that did to me? You know, it doesn't build up your faith. I mean, what that did was me. And now the adulation is coming towards me, and I have a problem with it. You know, because I didn't do it. Okay? I'm not the one that did it. The one that did it is Christ in me, bringing about a miracle. I can also say that we used to have one a month, a healing service at St. Anne's Church. And all of the prayer group people would have a folk mass where the guitars and the singers would praise and worship the Lord. And I remember this one lady that comes up to me, and after everything was done, then we would anoint people with oil, and the priest would run away. He would run to his... Kim, be careful.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He would run to his personal sanctuary. How's that? And I remember, I had the bottle of oil. I'm standing at the altar rail area, and it's like a moment in time where God literally used my mouth to declare whatever disease it was. I don't remember the disease. She said, I want to get rid of, and she said what it was. And I remember saying the words, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And I anointed her, and she went flying. Now, the anointing was there. The miracle happened. Now, a month or 2 months later, she's worshiping me. I'm now the saint. I'm not the saint that needs worship. The problem is, it goes to the person. Jesus is declaring to us, do you believe that I'm the one that's doing this miracle? Did that person believe that Jesus did that miracle? No, she believed I did it. Totally off center. Okay? Why do they have statues of Peter? They're worshiping what? A piece of bronze, a piece of clay or plaster of Paris, whatever. No, it's Jesus in Peter that did the work. That's what I'm trying to make every one of us be aware of. We have the living Christ in us. We have the living Father in us. That bread Sunday was so awesome because it came back, I can't tell you how many times. One loaf. But without the Father, you can't have the Son. Without the Son, the Father's not visible. Think about it. Without the Son, the Father's not visible. Chew on that one for a while. And if you want to see the manifestation of the Spirit, you need both the Father and the Son. Because they downloaded into the believers, 120 of them, and the whole earth came alive without a telephone, without a computer, not even a telegraph wire. I forgot which country it is in South America that was totally saved in a matter of 3 months or 6 months. I believe that was one of the comments that was made by Susan O'Mara and her husband Patrick. The city of Rochester totally transformed in a matter of months, where the jails are now closed down, the bar rooms are closing because they don't need them anymore. Nobody's getting high because they don't need to. What is the solution for the drug problem of today?
Jesus.
Yeah. Can we believe that he'll set them free? See, if we believe that he can set them free, that takes care of all the other problems in humanity. If we believe that he's able to do this. If we believe that through Jesus you see the Father's love. The other piece to the puzzle that he pressed in was that he sent his son to serve. He sent his son to serve. How many of you have ever gotten a phone call where you're going to be having to, let's say, put yourself out? You're going to have to do a lot of work in order to serve these individuals that are now coming into your house for a weekend. And you haven't got anything ready, and your energy levels are on the lower level. Or the finances are not there to purchase everything you'd like to purchase, to literally welcome these people. How many of you have an emotional reaction to that? Mm-hmm. Why?
We're not trusting.
Not depending on ourselves.
Ah. And the pressure was on the other day for something that was going on. And the Lord said, why do you think I sent my son to serve? And I said, oh. Then he pressured me again. He said, if my son and myself is in you, along with my spirit, and you think that you're not going to be a servant, my DNA is serve. You've got my DNA in you, so you're going to be what?
Servant.
So what's the problem? Instead of depending on me or whatever else that I'm trying to depend on, I'm going to believe that he can take care of the problem. Amen?
Amen.
And if I believe that he's going to take care of the problem, I don't have to worry about complaining, because what good is that going to do? Just get me frustrated. Mm-hmm. Get me tired before the party starts.
Amen.
Okay. So, do I have a servant's heart yet? I'd say he's working full time on it. Okay? He's working full time on it. Do I want to serve? Well, when my energy's just right and I've got everything prepared ahead and all the rooms are ready.
Yeah.
Yeah?
That's okay. When it's safe.
Huh?
Oh, I said I get it. When it's safe.
When it's nice and safe, yeah. No need to stretch, right?
No need to trust.
No need to trust.
What you're doing, you're trusting yourself. Well, I don't have the room ready, so this can't be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of trusting that you'll get it ready.
Needless to say, we are so accustomed to self being the author and finisher that Jesus doesn't most of the time enter the picture. We kind of leave him in our spare tire. You know, if you have a flat, then you need it. So then, it's emergency time. Jesus, where are you? Help! You know, the instant prayer. So, he was saying, do you believe that I can do this? Do you believe that I can continue to set you free? Do you believe that I am in the process of letting you be so full of oil that your shadow will set the captives free? Do you believe that it's the same spirit that was in Peter that's in you today? My God, it got quiet in here.
I'm digesting that.
Sometimes you believe he can do it, but you don't believe
He will do it through you.
Aha.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because you're looking at your flaws.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at your weakness. Mm-hmm. You're looking at your disability. And you're looking at your past for an example of your future.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost a sin.
Mm-hmm.
Almost
helps,
a sin.
The enemy helps you along by letting you do it. Why he wouldn't use
it. Well, we're pulling down every thought.
Yes.
And make it obedient to the anointing.
I feel like sometimes the trap is that you feel like if you don't help, then you're not worthy of being helped.
So it's a matter of being accepted with a value system.
Believe he is able, but you don't believe he'll do it for you.
Okay. We know and believe that he is able,
yeah.
But?
But you don't believe that he'll do it for you.
He'll do it for you. So we have to cry out like the father watching his son doing all kinds of cartwheels on the ground and cry out for help, my unbelief?
I think to really get to know him, because if we knew him, we would understand him.
I can't hear you.
We have to get to know him, because if we truly knew him, then those things of, well, why would he do it for me?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, because the enemy's there saying, well, he doesn't really love you as much as he does Pastor Kim.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And we compare.
He's got a doll, and you don't.
It hasn't been manufactured yet. Praise God for that.
Somewhere there's a model.
Be careful with that doll. Some people might stick pins in.
Yes, I was thinking of the same thing.
Just thinking of that. Yes.
But you know, you understand. It's coming from Judy, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So she was laughing with me this morning, and. I was praying with her because struggling. But God is big, and there is some hope that starting to form that she will be able to move, hopefully not too many more weeks from now. So she'll be with her daughter, and I think that's going to be a big plus. So keep that in your heart. Don't spread it around. Just know that she needs the extra help right now. Okay? So I want you to go back now. And I want to kind of synopsize this. Verse 5, John 14. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. So how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that takes care of all the people who would like to have a different door to get to God. If you really knew me, you would know my Father. Notice verse 7 again. If you really knew me, that's your response right there. Knowledge of him. All right? So now we know that Thomas doesn't really know. He may have relationship, but he really doesn't know the real Jesus. He knows the man that is coming from Nazareth, right? He knows the man that, you know, had a wine for that made the wedding a feast. He knows the man that set the blind man free, but does he really know Jesus? No. He hasn't got a clue. So, is it maybe a comfort to us to realize that if Thomas didn't have what he needed, that the Holy Ghost would supply that on the day of Pentecost?
It could be he never recognized him as the Son of God.
Correct.
He served.
He recognized him as an awesome man,
yeah.
A prophet,
man
awesome, yeah, a rabbi, but You know, because I remember one time I said a crazy prayer. Lord, if I would only been born in your time slot, he says, it would have been tougher on you than you realize.
Amen.
In other words, I'm trying to adjust my birth time.
Yeah.
I had no clue that he had a time for me. And that time is now. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, we just hit a couple of... I just saw a couple of bubbles start to fall. Would you just lift your hand right now, close your eyes, and say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus.
It's not an accident.
It's not an accident.
That I was born to the family that I came to.
That I was born to the family that I came to.
You ordained that I should be born for this time.
You ordained that I should be born for this time.
Why should I think you made a mistake?
Why should I think you made a mistake?
And if I did,
I repent.
I'm changing my mind right now.
I'm changing my mind right now.
In the place and time.
In the place and time.
That you released me to come down.
That you released me to come down.
It was the perfect space for me.
It was the perfect space for me.
The perfect time for me.
Perfect time for me.
And that settled.
And that's settled.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen?
Amen.
So now, if you, verse 7, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Now, he's declaring who he is at this point. How does that work in the believing factor? For Thomas. We know for sure that after his resurrection, he still hasn't got a clue.
Yeah.
Right or wrong?
That's an amazing thing.
Yeah. He's told, I am all these aspects, and you already. He said he's really giving him a forecast or a prophecy. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. So he's even declaring. And we know that after the resurrection, when all the disciples were in the room except for Thomas, right? When he gets to show up, Jesus has been there already. And they don't. He says, no, I don't believe it. Unless I put my fingers.
No.
You know, so how deep does that unbelief go?
Did Thomas see him crucified?
I believe he did. Because his comment is, I want to put my hand in the side. So he had to know about the cut. He had to know about the hands and feet.
But the doubt in the Jewish
resurrection
is sight.
Yeah.
You know, they're looking for a sign.
Yeah.
So that would be consistent with that.
Mm-hmm.
But he was in the upper room with them. He heard Baal told him what happened if he didn't see it.
Well, he certainly would have heard it, but I don't think he would have made those comments blurting it out because he was reactionary. You know, just like I would be. You know, I know myself, and I mean, when there's unbelief in me, I want a proof. You know, I want something tangible.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to go by what I've already tasted or seen.
Not what others have said.
Right. I won't go by hearsay. Not me. Maybe other people could. I believe the apostles, you know, when Mary Magdalene showed up. We saw Jesus. Yeah, right. Women again. Visions.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, with attitude.
Right.
Us guys, we do have attitude. Okay?
We still love you.
That's good. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip kind of jumps in here. Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. So now he's being buckled down by two.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I love this part.
Well, he must know that Jesus has the ability to show him the Father to say that.
I believe he trusts Jesus to a greater degree than probably he did at the beginning.
Right, because he's saying, show us the Father, so he's expecting Jesus.
Yes, he's expecting, yes. Yeah. But he's expecting a person to show up. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because he's going, well, because Jesus is the Son and he's visible.
So how can he expect the Father to be visible?
I don't know. I believe that the Father is visible.
Because from their perspective, the Father has been visible. You know, when he marched between the two mountains, the pillar of fire. Mm.
So don't forget.
Wasn't visible as a man.
Right.
But visible.
Visible. They saw his backside. Right?
They couldn't see us.
But they...
Front,
they
yeah, and live.
Right. And so, you see, Moses had relationship with the Father. I believe he had relationship with the Son. Amen. Okay? So, you know, these Jewish people had a knowledge of the Word that I don't have. Because they started at 3-4 years old, and it was learned by heart. Okay? So we understand it of coming from a book. I'm not saying we have less than them, because we do have the Holy Spirit. And I, you know, without the Holy Spirit, I don't know what I would do. Okay? But I do believe that it's trying to get me and you tonight to have an awareness that when we hear from the Lord, or we hear from the Holy Spirit, or we hear something from our Father who loves us, that we believe it. And that we receive it by faith. And we accept it. Not to run from it or question it. Because the minute we start questioning, you saw the results. And you're seeing the results. And how our unbelief bubbles out of us in the strangest times and in the strangest ways.
Notice in verse 9, he doesn't say, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not seen me? Philip, it's not about sight. It's about knowing.
It's relation.
It's relationship.
It's relationship.
And yet they're coming back saying, cause us, make us see the Father.
I can't help but, like, also, in, like, a weird way, I feel like I understand, too, because they are in a position where you have the Holy of Holy before you, and you want to have that relationship and you want to know, but there's still these things that are hindering, and in their minds, oh, this is easy, you're here, let's have that relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, they see it as a straight line, and the Lord says this is not at all what you think.
Yeah.
So, like, I kind of get that.
I don't think they have the coordinates in their heart to really have a concept of what the Godhead was really all about. Where the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit were one, and yet they were divided in a sense, or separated in a sense. So, you know, they want to see maybe three people show up.
They knew that we were created in the image of God, so they wanted, Jesus was an image, they wanted to see the Father, the same image.
But not until St. Paul are they made aware that they are made in three parts. Because the Old Testament doesn't show the three parts. Not at least in my understanding. Maybe in the Psalms a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know. But the majority of the time, you see it in Jacob and Israel. You see the two parts. And of course they're in a body. So it is visible, but it's hidden.
Yeah, it's representation if you know what you're looking for.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you don't realize that you're made up of three parts, then how can I be like God?
And something that I'm at times painfully aware of is if I learn something, okay, if I'm studying some chemical reaction, whatever, my mind can take it and disavow any other possibility. So having been raised for 3 years old or whatever in the scripture,
yeah,
they are so well grounded in what they know.
Yeah.
That it bars them from seeing what's right in front of them. Mm-hmm. And it's something I fight with myself, because I understand if I get so well-grounded traditional education, as it were, I believe I will lose the unction of the Holy Spirit.
I believe that too.
That spark, that thing that you wouldn't even consider because it's too absurd, but it's actually the answer to the problem.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
Plus, so they were very emotional, because he just said he was leaving them.
Yeah.
And they didn't know, where he was going, so they're blurting this out because they're so emotional. Because
yeah. Well, he's everything. They've given up everything. Mm-hmm. Okay? And they've walked with him for 3.5 years, and now he's leaving. I mean, that's not good news. Yeah. It's good news to him, because his job is almost done, and he's got the biggest problem in front of him, and he knows about it. Mm. But he's willing to go through it with the help that he's going to receive. So, let's take a good look at verse 9 again. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me." Now he's bringing them clarity with a picture that they can handle. Mm-hmm. The Father's living inside of me. Like an awakening happens at that point, and my understanding. And who is doing his work? Mm-hmm. What's his work? He's going around doing good, healing the sick, setting the captives free. Amen?
Amen.
Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. There's a miracle right in front of you. So, realize what God is really trying to show us in this word. I truly believe that the Lord Himself has set aside many of us to come to a different place than we've ever been before, with an awareness of how much He's preparing us to do a work through us because of His residency within us. Mm-hmm. I think if you get that a little bit, the Lord will give you enough grace to start believing. Amen. At a new level. Yeah. I'm not saying you're not believing now, but believing at a new level.
Mm-hmm. And at a right level.
And an adjusted level. Mm-hmm. Where you can really now believe that when you are commissioned of God to do something, it will happen. Because it's Him doing it. He and you have now come into an agreement of believing that He's able to do it. He's able. And He's willing and He wants to. And whatever unbelief that's still remaining, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to burn that up. I believe that. Because He did not send the holy fire for nothing. Agreed?
Amen.
I truly believe that we are on the edge, and we need to be aware of the awesomeness of what He's preparing us for. You're smiling.
Last Thursday night when we came home, and there was a note on the door that, oh, by the way, the house has already been sold.
Yes.
I was reminded recently that morning in the shower, I said to the Lord, "Okay, burn out the rest of me."
Oh!
What did you say?
Burn out
the rest of me.
Oh, wow.
I don't recommend that.
That's a dangerous prayer.
That is a dangerous prayer. And Thursday night, we find the house is already sold, and Friday we have the police coming in the door.